It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Today is Memorial Day, when we recognize the men and women who gave their lives in service of our country. For the rest of the show, we're going to listen back to a conversation we had last year on Tuskegee Airmen Commemoration Day, the fourth Thursday of every March, which celebrates the first black military aviators in the U.S. Army Air Corps. An obituary of one of the pilots in the New York Times recounted that of nearly 1,000 airmen trained at Tuskegee, 84 were killed in action. Another dozen died in training and non-combat missions. Here in Illinois, you might have seen the green highway signs announcing Champaign County as the birthplace of the Tuskegee Airmen. They were activated as the 99th Pursuit Squadron at what was then Chanute Airfield Base in Rantoul in 1941. They soon moved south and trained at the Tuskegee Army Airfield in Alabama from 1941 to 46, flying more than 1,800 missions in Europe and North Africa during World War II. Yet, for the Tuskegee Airmen, answering the call of duty meant serving a country that saw them as second-class citizens. They began their service more than 80 years ago, but it was only relatively recently that their stories and accomplishments became more widely known. In 2007, they were awarded the Congressional Gold Medal, the nation's highest civilian honor. In January of last year, Charles E. McGee, one of the fewer than 10 surviving Tuskegee Airmen, died at the age of 102. In 1942, he put his engineering studies at the University of Illinois on hold in order to join the Airmen. He went on to serve in the Korean and Vietnam Wars, flying a total of 409 combat missions. He also founded Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated, an organization dedicated to the remembrance of African Americans who participated in air crew, ground crew, and operations support training in the Army Air Corps during World War II. Last year, I spoke about this with Reginald Duvall, president of the Indianapolis chapter of Tuskegee Airmen, Inc. He's an Air Force veteran who was first stationed at Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul. Also, Dr. Ronald Bailey, a professor and head of the Department of African American Studies at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. His ongoing book project focuses on slavery's role in shaping U.S. and global history. And Captain Alex Hampton, Deputy Air Wing Commander of Aircraft Carrier Air Wing 7 in the United States Navy. He's logged 3,100 flight hours in FA-18s and has more than 850 carrier landings. I should note I had a bit of a cold when I spoke with them, so my voice sounds a little different, but here now is that conversation. So much to cover in a relatively short amount of time, but Dr. Bailey, I'm going to begin with you. What was the military role of the Tuskegee Airmen during World War II?
Well, I think they were pioneers. They became key contributors to the military effort, even though the services of Black people in the Army and Black people in the Air Force, Black people in the military, and certainly flying as flying pilots were not exactly welcomed initially in our history. And so that's how I see them. And I know these gentlemen would tell us more about what they actually did in terms of military service and the victory that emerged with their contribution in World War II.
Well, Captain Hampton, let me ask you about that. How did the service of the airmen mark a departure from previous military protocol?
I think their training, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if we look at it from a historical perspective, was truly an experiment. It was an experiment to know and understand at that time the capabilities of Black men and what their contribution to the defense of this great nation could potentially be. I think also historically, if we look at how Black men and women have contributed to the defense of this nation from a historical perspective, we have always contributed in every single war, but the true unknown to some people in the United States of America was, are we capable of actually flying high performance fighter jets and bombers at that time, but high performance fighter jets in the case of the Tuskegee Airmen. And the result of that experiment was an unprofound yes. And I would say I am a result of that experiment and the success of the Tuskegee Airmen at that time.
Reginald Duvall, I want to ask you about that. I've read that, speaking of the pilots in particular, the selection was so rigorous. One of the men said that, you know, these were probably literally the, you know, some of, if not the smartest and most capable and qualified African-American men in the United States at the time. Can you say more about that?
Well, for sure. And I think we need to recall that the Army came out with a report in the late 30s, I think the late 20s, and republished again in the 30s, that basically indicated that Black men weren't capable of such a role. When it did come time for the opportunity to fly, it was an issue of the cultural norm was that of segregation. And if you made a African-American a pilot, he would be an officer. And then it created that very uncomfortable, untenable situation of they would have white enlisted persons having to salute then the Black officers. And that was led to the decision to have a completely separate, segregated support structure as well as for the pilots.
Dr. Bailey, the title of the documentary being shown is called Double Victory, Tuskegee Airmen at War. Can you talk about that? What is that double victory they achieved?
Well, this Black people in general and Black soldiers in particular began to wonder, why should they be going abroad to fight for democracy when Black people didn't have democracy at home, didn't have the right to vote, didn't have equal access to all kinds of institutions and opportunities? And so Double V became the campaign slogan for victory over fascism in Europe and racism, and victory over racism in the United States. So that became the Double V campaign that was really reflected in World War I as well as World War II. That was how the Black community rallied itself to, you know, kind of to have a clear conscience about fighting abroad for the U.S., but also fighting at home for democracy.
And Mr. Duvall, what was the significance of placing, I wonder what, the Tuskegee Institute was in Alabama, right? But this meant that the airmen still had to face segregated officer club situations, for example, right?
Well, the criteria to become a pilot was to have a four-year degree. The number of people that had four-year degrees at that time frame was about 6%. So over time, you know, in thinking about going to war, they had to prepare not just by making airplanes, but by building a pilot corps. And so the civilian pilot training program happened before World War II commenced. And there were different locations where African Americans were allowed to train, and Tuskegee Institute happened to be one of those locations. Hampton, Chicago, there were others where Tuskegee Airmen, a gentleman who became Tuskegee Airmen later, actually participated. And to go back to your previous point, were these the most talented? That first class started with 15 and only finished 5. But of those 5, many were pilots. And I have to blow the horn. One of the first class of 5 was a gentleman from Indianapolis. And he was a participant in the civilian pilot training program, I believe, in Hampton. So he, like others in his class, they were prepared.
Captain Hampton, let me ask you, you serve, as I mentioned earlier, in the United States Navy. Were the Tuskegee Airmen something that was talked about back in your training days when you were coming up? Or, you know, what is their legacy in the military today?
Back in my formal training, absolutely not. There was absolutely no mention of the Tuskegee Airmen throughout primary, intermediate, or advanced training. My knowledge of the Tuskegee Airmen was all on my personal time and of interest to me, obviously because of my upbringing and my thirst for history and knowledge, not only in military aviation, but also in African-American history. So I had the distinct knowledge of meeting General McGee while he was at the Smithsonian Institute and got to spend some quality time with that absolute rock star, in my opinion, and received some mentorship from him during that time. But 100% of my knowledge on the Tuskegee Airmen has been gained on my own time. And I encourage other flyers. And I think anytime you're in a career field and you want to be the absolutely best at what you do, you have to study the people that have come before you. And the Tuskegee Airmen are an example of the absolute best pilots in the Army Air Corps at that time. So I've taken my time to study their accomplishments and how they got to where they achieved that goal.
I'd like to add another piece of the history because I was not a Tuskegee Airman, but my mother was a student at Tuskegee in the 1940s. And so over the years, I grew up with knowledge of the Tuskegee Airmen. In fact, my father was at Fort Benning as a part of something called a special training regiment, charged with the responsibility of helping more Black soldiers get basic literacy skills that were often denied them in the South. And he met my mother at Tuskegee in, I think, 1946, and 1948, here I am. But it's a larger history, very deeply embedded in the history of Black people in this country, because a lot of other people other than the airmen were inspired by the story of these men training to be pilots at Tuskegee and at these other institutions around the country. And we have to do a better job of letting more young people of all nationalities understand what segregation did and what overcoming segregation did for expanding educational and job opportunities for Black people to contribute to the war and beyond.
And as our last question, just about a minute left in our conversation, Reginald Duvall, who, as I mentioned, president of the Indianapolis chapter of the Tuskegee Airmen, as there are so few actual Tuskegee Airmen remaining, what is the mission of your organization in going forward in the future?
The mission of the organization is to preserve the legacy of the airmen, to introduce young men and women to the world of aviation, and to recognize those that assist us in that end, which means we work with ROTC, Civil Air Patrol. I'll give you an example. When I'm a graduate of the United States Air Force Academy. I'm in from the 25th class. I've learned that I'm the 198th African-American graduate of the Long Blue Line. No, we were not taught this information. However, things are changing. Several years ago, they changed the name of the airfield to Benjamin O. Davis, that commander. It is our obligation to make sure this information is widely shared and understood, not just by youth, but by the adults that influence and work with the young persons, because it's what they see in their mind as to what they can be. And it's not just about flying. I turned down pilot training, became a maintenance logistics officer, and I have had significant opportunities because of the training that I received that was a result of what the airmen did.
Reginald Duvall is an Air Force veteran and president of the Indianapolis chapter of Tuskegee Airmen, Inc. We also spoke with Captain Alex Hampton of the U.S. Navy, Deputy Commander of Aircraft Carrier Air Wing 7, and also Dr. Ronald Bailey, head of the Department of African American Studies at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. We referenced a documentary called Double Victory, Tuskegee Airmen at War. It's from Lucasfilm, and the entire thing is available to stream for free, high quality, on YouTube. We'll have a link to that at our website, 21stshow.org. Otherwise, we'd love to hear what you think about what we've been talking about, whether it's today's program or anything in the recent past. If you liked it, didn't like it, if you think we got something right or wrong, let us know. Leave a voicemail, 217-300-2121. Anytime, day or night, 217-300-2121. And that's our time for today. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our intern is Owen Henderson. The conversation you just heard was originally produced by Aiden Choate. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.